Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Abraham, Dorit Bat Sara, and Shifra Bat Sara, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Zeb Ben Chava, Harav Mir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mitman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. Let's get right into the two subjects we want to cover, because we have a lot of territory we want to cover this week. First of all, the latest news from the Israeli Knesset elections, the election for the Israeli Knesset or the Israeli Parliament, which is coming up on Tuesday, April 9th, about 2 weeks from now. And there's a lot of news. Also, the fact that the Democrat Party has been completely taken over by the most vicious anti-Semites, and why that is something that should be of concern to supporters of Israel and to the Jewish people. But first, let's start out with what's happening in Israel. You know, we started out this campaign several years ago saying that Moshe Feiglin and the Zehut Party that he had formed 3 years ago should get in the Knesset. Everybody for several years now has said that he has no chance. All of the polls showed that he has zero chance of passing the threshold, that he's not even coming close to the threshold. Polls showed him getting a fraction of a percent of the total vote when he needs 3.25% to pass as the minimum threshold. He had no chance according to the polls, according to the experts, according to the prognosticators. Everybody said he had no chance. I remember Itamar Ben-Gvir, who is now one of his rivals with Otzma, saying that Moshe Feiglin won't get more than 5,000 votes. You need about 150,000 to pass the threshold. And Itamar Ben-Gvir said, he won't even get 5,000 votes, was ridiculing him. Now, something has happened in the past couple of weeks. Moshe Feiglin, according to the polls, according to all of the latest polls, is passing the threshold. The polls show him getting 4, 5, or even 6 seats. He needs a minimum of 4. There are 120 seats in the Israeli Knesset. You need a minimum of 4 to pass the threshold, and that comes to 3.25% minimum of the total vote. You need, in other words, you need 3.25% of the total vote, 3.25% of the total vote, which is 4 seats in the Knesset. That's the minimum you need to get by. And the polls show, the latest polls, all of the latest polls show that Feiglin is getting that. And some polls show him even getting 5 or 6 seats. So the impossible seems to be happening right now. Now, it is still not certain by any means. There is a vicious, massive smear campaign being conducted against Moshe Feiglin and against the Zehut Party. There are all types of forces in Israel that could create problems and headwinds come election day. So this is far from certain, just because the polls now are showing him getting in. And they show him barely getting in. Most polls show him getting the 4 seats. In other words, he just barely makes it over the threshold. So it's within the margin of error. This is not certain by any means, so we've still got a very tough fight ahead of us. But we in JTF have played a major role in helping push him forward. I don't even know if he realizes how much of an influence and an impact our advertising campaign had, but over 1 million Israeli Jews have seen our ads on his behalf, have seen our videos on his behalf, which are very effective videos. So I'm proud to say that I think we've played a major role. Again, he's not in yet. The election's April 9th. We've still got a tough fight ahead of us, but the latest polls are encouraging, and we have a real chance here, a real shot at winning at this point. We have a real chance of doing it. We still got to fight the battle, and we're still fighting that battle on a daily basis, and hoping that we can pull this off, that he will be the surprise of the election. Everybody used to laugh at him when he said that the Zehut party that he created is going to be the surprise of the election. Now, all of the commentators are saying it's already becoming the surprise of the election, that it's become the surprise. So, this is something amazing that might occur, and it would be certainly very satisfying to us to know that he would be in the Knesset and that we would have at least representation on most of the issues, that we agree with him on most of the issues. We disagree on some issues. We do not agree with him on legalization of marijuana. We're completely against legalization of marijuana or any drugs. But we do, or any illegal, any of the illegal drugs that are harmful to people, that people want to legalize, that people want to legalize, we disagree with that. But on most of the issues, as we've mentioned in the past, we do agree with him, and we think that it would be a real plus to have his voice in the Knesset. So we've got a reasonable chance now, and this is no longer just a pipe dream. This is no longer something that seems hopeless. We have a real chance, God willing, Bezrat Hashem. Now, I just want to say also that last week we spoke about Michael Ben-Ari potentially being banned. He was, in fact, banned by the extreme left Bolshevik Israeli Supreme Court. The same Israeli Supreme Court that banned him cleared the way for Arab terrorist parties to run in the Knesset. The Arab terrorists are allowed to sit in the Knesset and allowed to run. Arab terrorist parties that openly support the destruction of Israel and genocide against the Jewish people, they're allowed to run, but Michael Ben-Ari was banned. Now, Michael Ben-Ari, we do not support Michael Ben-Ari or the Otzma party, but it was completely outrageous to ban his candidacy. And something we discussed last week, but I just want to mention that interestingly enough, there were two of the new so-called conservative judges that Ayelet Shaked and Naftali Bennett from the Jewish Home Party, they were from the Jewish Home Party. They quit the Jewish Home Party and started what they call the New Right Party, which is not new and it's not right. It's complete phonies. But they were the heads of the Jewish Home Party, and they and Smotrich, Bezalel Smotrich, and all the other phonies in the so-called Jewish Home Party that Otzma is now running with, they put two new judges on the court that they said were conservative judges. We already see what phonies they are. One of them, Mintz, a Jew who claims to be a religious Jew with a kippah on his head, he gave an especially long opinion explaining why Ben-Ari had to be banned and why the Arab parties have to be allowed to run, the Arab terrorist parties have to be allowed to run. This is the so-called conservative judges. They're a fraud. The Likud is a fraud. The Jewish Home Party is a fraud. Are frauds. All of the parties in Israel are frauds and liars and corrupt charlatans. I'm very, very sorry that the Otzma party has decided to run with these charlatans on the same party list. I'm very sorry to see that because they claim to be Kahanists. Rabbi Meir Kahana, Zecher Tzaddik V'Kadosh Livracha, Hashem Yikom Damo, our blessed Rabbi Kahana, would never have run with these con artists, with these frauds, who are a complete bluff, and who are leading the Jewish people down the road to destruction, God forbid. But anyway, ironically, the parties they're running with are the ones that banned Michael Ben-Ari. It's not over for them yet, because Itamar Ben-Gvir is still running, and is still running on the party list, so he still may get in, but I think it's disappointing that he's running with people like this. These are real establishment frauds, and everything they represent is fraudulent. And for him to push to get them in the Knesset just so that he could have a seat, I think is unfortunate. You know, he's now in the seventh spot on the list, which means they have to get seven seats for him to get in. So we would have to elect six frauds for him to have one seat in the Knesset. Is that worth it? I don't think so. I think it's a compromise with the devil, a deal with the devil that should not have been made. And so we're supporting Moshe Feiglin, despite the fact, again, that we have differences with him on certain issues like legalizing marijuana. We have our differences, but still we're supporting him. By the way, you know, Benjamin Netanyahu, who is running again, he's running and saying, we can't have a left-wing government. And by the way, Ben-Gvir and all these other guys are also saying, yes, we have to support Netanyahu. We have to support the right-wing bloc. Gush Hayamin, the right-wing bloc. We can't let Gush HaSmol, the left-wing bloc, take over. Meanwhile, Netanyahu is continuing a complete building freeze, a freeze on Jewish building in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem. That's the right-wing bloc. Even left-wing governments never did what Netanyahu was doing. And Netanyahu, you know, again betrayed the Jewish hero Jonathan Pollard, who spent over 30 years in prison because of his love for Israel and the Jewish people. Again, he betrayed. Now, Jonathan Pollard is out of prison now. He spent over 30 years in prison. He got out, and now they put him on parole for 5 years and won't let him go to Israel. And Netanyahu is not insisting with his friend Trump. Trump is refusing to let Pollard go to Israel. You know, so that shows how sincere Trump's so-called friendship for Israel is. Trump is not sincere at all, and neither is Netanyahu. They're not letting Pollard go to Israel. And today, on the evening, I'm doing this program on Saturday night, Motzei Shabbat. Today, Rafi Eitan, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro Shem Reshayim Yirkav, may his name and memory be obliterated, this rat lowlife from the Mossad, who was the one that worked with Pollard and betrayed Pollard and handed Pollard over. He said, we have to hand Pollard over to the FBI, because Pollard and his wife ran to the Israeli embassy, and they could have been protected, and nobody would have been able to touch them. They would have gone back to Israel, and that would have been it. They wouldn't have been able to touch them in the Israeli embassy. But instead, they were thrown out of the Israeli embassy, immediately handed over to the FBI. And the first one that said that they should do that, and he says he's proud of it to this day that they did it. He says he had no regrets, was Rafi Eitan, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, that rat lowlife, that filthy Judenrat capo animal, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, who, thank God, dropped dead today. He was 92 years old. Unfortunately, he lived 92 years too long. But thank God he dropped dead, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, that rat. Any Jew that hands his fellow Jews over to the authorities, fellow Jews who try to save the Jewish people and hands them over to the authorities, is the lowest, is worse than a Nazi. A Jew who does that to his own brothers and sisters is worse than a Nazi. That's the lowest. That's three times a day we pray for the destruction in this world and in the next, for the destruction of la malshinim. La malshinim means to the informers. We pray for their destruction. Malshinim, minim, all the traitors. Minim are people who betray Torah Judaism and deny Torah Judaism. We pray for their destruction three times a day. Okay? And Rafi Eitan is certainly one of those people. Netanyahu praises Rafi Eitan today and says, oh, he was such a patriot. He was so wonderful. This rat lowlife, this Judenrat rat lowlife was so wonderful, Netanyahu says, who betrayed Pollard. Just as Netanyahu, once again, is betraying Pollard. Anyway, of course, this is the same Netanyahu who keeps Pollard out of Israel, keeps me out of Israel. Arafat, when the Arab Hitler Yasser Arafat, he embraced, literally hugged him and said, I have found a new friend. The Arab Hitler Yasser Arafat, who murdered thousands of Jewish men, women, and children, who murdered more Jews than any other Nazi Jew hater since Adolf Hitler. Arafat, after Adolf Hitler, since Hitler, there has been no one who murdered as many Jews as the Arab Hitler, Yasser Arafat, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro. And Netanyahu called him his friend, said that I have found a new friend, and gave him 13% of Judea and Samaria, gave him 97% of Hebron, the city of our forefathers, and was willing to give him a so-called state, a so-called Palestine state. Anyway, just wanted to again show how the phony right is very often worse than the real left sometimes, than the open left. I should say the open left, because the phony right is also left. That's in Israel. So let's hope, God willing, that what we're doing will continue. Our advertising campaign is continuing. Let's hope that this will continue and that we will succeed in getting Moshe Feiglin and the Zahut Party into the Knesset. That would be a big accomplishment for JTF, because JTF has played a major role. We ran our campaign on behalf of Feiglin is completely an independent campaign on his behalf. But I believe we played a major role in convincing large numbers of voters that may vote for Feiglin to support him. I think a lot of that comes from our advertising campaign. I really believe that. Now, the second subject is Donald Trump and the Democrats, because we're going to have the 2020 presidential election next year, and JTF is going to be focusing on that issue, the issue of the presidential election after the Israeli elections in 2 weeks, after the Israeli Knesset elections in 2 weeks. Now, first of all, you know that we are true conservative never Trumpers, okay? We detest Donald Trump. He's immoral. He's everything we can't stand. and he's someone who can't be trusted on any issue. He's proven that over and over again. And he's going to come out with his so-called plan of the century to get Israel to commit national suicide in a couple of weeks. If he comes out with a plan to get Israel to commit suicide, to create a so-called Palestine state and get Israel to commit suicide, and starts pressuring Israel to accept this plan, then of course we're not going to support him in 2020, and we're going to, and you know, we don't care if the Democrats win, Republicans win, there's no difference for us. It doesn't make a difference. If he's going to be pressuring Israel to commit suicide, the Democrats would pressure Israel to commit suicide. In the end, there's no real difference there. So we're not going to be supporting anybody if he does that. On the other hand, if his plan if he doesn't have a plan where he tries to get Israel to commit suicide and doesn't pressure Israel and doesn't push his plan on Israel, and nothing really comes of it, then I would say that the Democrats probably are worse than him, and that he's probably a lesser of the evils in this case, because the Democrats are so anti-Semitic and have been taken over by such vicious Jew haters. I mean, just completely vicious, vile haters of the Jewish people who are thirsting for Jewish blood, who want to destroy Israel, literally want to destroy Israel and are thirsting for Jewish blood. That's the Democrat Party of today. And all the self-hating Jews who vote for the Democrats, who give money to the Democrats, what a disgrace. Boy, are they going to burn in a deep part of hell in the next world. They're really going to roast in a deep part of hell, and they deserve it. And you know, I won't shed a tear for them. They deserve everything they get. I mean, these are the same Jews who voted for Franklin Delano Roosevelt and loved Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who made it possible for the German Nazis to murder 6 million Jews during the Holocaust. Roosevelt could have stopped the Holocaust. He could have bombed the rail lines. He could have destroyed the death camps. He could have stopped the Holocaust dead in its tracks. Instead, he did everything possible. Even during the war, even when the United States was at war with Nazi Germany, he did everything possible to enable the German Nazis to continue their mass murder of the Jews. The only roads in Europe that Roosevelt and the U.S. Air Force and the British Air Force and Winston Churchill didn't bomb, the only roads in Germany, in Nazi-occupied Europe, that they didn't bomb were the roads that were used to bring Jews to the death camps, because they wanted the Jews to be murdered. Roosevelt and Churchill wanted the Jews to be murdered. They wanted the Holocaust to take place. That's the Democrat Party, okay? And ever since then, the Democrat Party is a vicious Jew-hating party, the party of Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton, who did everything he could to embrace Arafat and try to get Israel to commit suicide, and Barack Hussein Obama, the Muslim anti-Semite. This is a party of anti-Semites who despise Jews, and the Jews in the Democrat Party. The Jewish politicians are Jewish anti-Semites who hate their own people and who would like to see Israel go under so that they don't have to be burdened anymore by having a Jewish state and Jewish identity. They don't want to have a Jewish identity. They just want to be Jewish leftists without being tied to a Jewish state and a separate Jewish people. They don't want to be tied to the destiny of the Jewish people, these self-hating Jews. And that's most American Jews, and that's the Jewish politicians in the Democrat Party, self-hating Jews and traitors. And so the Democrat Party is controlled by these creatures. And now the Democrat candidates for president, One after another. Beto O'Rourke, that anti-Semite, that vicious anti-Semite, who wrote when he was younger that he fantasized about running kids over on a road. I mean, a sick, disgusting... He was a punk rocker. You know, the sickness of these people. This sickness now is running, and he has announced, together with the Judenrat capo Bernie Sanders and Warren and Elizabeth Warren and all the others, they're going to boycott AIPAC now. Even the wimpy, self-hating Jews of AIPAC are too much for these Democrats. They're boycotting AIPAC. AIPAC, a left-wing organization that says they support the two-state solution. They support Israeli suicide at AIPAC. But the mere fact that AIPAC pretends to be pro-Israel, they're not pro-Israel. They're terrible, terrible for Israel. Even they are too much for these Jew-hating Democrats. And so the Democrats are boycotting AIPAC. And the Democrats support the BDS movement. There was a resolution to stop the BDS movement. Democrats all oppose it. They said, the BDS movement, that's free speech. Free speech? If someone says something against blacks or gays, would the Democrats say that's free speech? They'd immediately demand a person be fired or the person be blacklisted and condemned on national television, even if the person's not guilty, automatically. But when it comes to trying to destroy Israel and commit genocide against the Jewish people, because the Arabs have said their goal, the Arab Muslims that surround Israel have said their goal is to push the Jews into the sea, finish Hitler's job, and commit genocide. And the Democrats support that agenda. They support the BDS movement as the movement to boycott Israel, which is a continuation of what we saw in the 1930s and the 1940s and 1940s. Nazi Germany had a boycott of Jewish stores and Jewish businesses. They said any Jewish store, any Jewish business had to be boycotted. That's one of the things that led up to the Holocaust. And the BDS movement, which wants another Holocaust, is following Hitler's boycott policies. They want to boycott Israel. Can you imagine? Arab Muslim countries who slaughter millions of their own people, who starve their own people to death, who take hundreds of millions of Muslim women and cut off their clitorises in what's called female circumcision. These barbarians, these beasts, these criminals, them you have to support, you can't boycott. But Israel, tiny Israel, fighting for her survival in an ocean of hate, of Muslim hate, and Islamic hatred, we're Islamic haters who are committed to genocide. Little Israel, they want to boycott as she's fighting for her survival. And she doesn't even fight for her survival. She's appeasing and kissing the behind of all of her enemies and freeing all the terrorists and all the terrible things, crazy things Israel does. No matter what Israel does, they hate the Jews, they hate Israel, they want Israel to be destroyed. And the Democrats are longing to destroy Israel, including the self-hating Jewish Democrats. Bernie Sanders, that vile, Judenrat communist piece of subhuman filth. That piece of subhuman filth. If the entire Senate, there have been a couple of times when the entire Senate has voted meaningless things and voted to show opposition to Iran's terrorism or Hezbollah terrorism, something involving Israel. And the vote was like 98-0 or something like 98-2. One of the two senators who voted against it was Bernie Sanders. The other one, Rand Paul, another anti-Semite, by the way. And Rand Paul and Ron Paul are anti-Semites as well. And so they back BDS. They back the boycott of Israel. They back the same boycott that Nazi Germany had against Jews in Germany. This is the same exact thing. They want to destroy the Jewish people. They want to destroy Israel. The people involved in BDS are all supporters of Arab terrorism and of those who preach genocide against the Jewish people. And even wimpy organizations like AIPAC, they boycott. They're boycotting anything, basically anything Jewish. Unless you're a Jew who is willing to come out and say, I want to destroy Israel, I join with those who want to destroy my own people. Unless you do that, they'll boycott you. That's what Bernie Sanders, the self-hating Jew, does. The Jewish anti-Semite Bernie Sanders. And all the other sick, evil people in the Democrat Party. So, of course, to have them take over the White House would be a catastrophe. And, you know, under Jimmy Carter, under Barack Hussein Obama, we saw, and Bill Clinton, we saw the anti-Semitic policies of their administrations. They were very, very anti-Israel, constant pressure on Israel to commit suicide. And they are worse. They are worse. Unless... when Trump releases his plan in a couple of weeks, if he starts pressuring Israel, then all bets are off. Then there's no point in even talking about who's worse, because Trump is just as bad then. If he starts pressuring Israel also to commit national suicide in a couple of weeks, then there's no point in supporting either side. We'll see what happens. But if he does not pressure Israel to commit suicide, the way the Democrats stand now, with these vicious anti-Semites and the vicious things they stand for, you know, Trump would be the lesser of the evils in that case. Let's not forget, though, that the lesser of the evils is still evil. But he would be the lesser of the evils, probably, if Trump does not conduct a campaign to pressure to pressure Israel to commit suicide. And you know, we would be very effective if we were supporting, if we were opposing the Democrats. In effect, we'd be supporting Trump, even though we hate him. We'd in effect be supporting him by opposing the Democrats. If we conducted a campaign like that, it would be very effective. Why? Because you have the Trumpsters who support Trump no matter what, blindly. Okay, they're going to support him blindly. And you have the Democrats who are against him. But in between, you have other people like JTF. And we're the ones who can swing those in-between voters that will decide the election. Because we are never Trumpers. We're not supporters of Trump. We're not apologists for Trump. And if we say that no matter what you think of Trump, the Democrats are so bad we have no choice. He's the lesser of the evils. We have no choice. If we say that, that's much more effective. Much more effective than Fox News and the traditional Trumpsters saying what they say, because they're not going to convince anybody. They haven't convinced people for the past few years. They're not going to convince anybody new. We could convince, especially Jews in the Democrat Party, we probably could convince certain numbers of Jews to swing over. And we would be the most effective voice and force to do that if we get involved. And don't forget, in 2016, Trump lost the popular vote by 3 million votes. Hillary Clinton won the popular vote by 3 million votes. But Trump won the Electoral College. He won by very narrow margins, involved tens of thousands of votes in states like Michigan and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin and Florida. Very narrow margins. And we, in 2012, when we were running our campaign on behalf of Mitt Romney against Barack Hussein Obama, when we ran that campaign, we got millions of views on our videos, on our anti-Obama campaign. Millions of views. If we do that again, this time saying Trump is the lesser of the evils, telling people we're against anti-Semitism that they have to oppose the Democrats, if we do that again, and it's a very close election, and it's decided by tens of thousands of votes, and we get millions of views, we could actually have an impact. It's possible. It's just possible. I don't know. Of course, I don't know if that's going to happen. I have no idea. Right now, I don't think things look good for Trump. I don't think so right now. But it's possible if it's another race, a very close race like it was last time, we could potentially have an impact, because our videos in the end did get a lot of views when we were running our campaign against Obama. So you never know. We're going to find out in a couple of weeks. We're going to see what role we have to play leading up to the election, because these are important issues that have to be decided. In the meantime, you see, it looks like we have a chance to make a difference. Again, I can't promise you we're going to win on April 9th, that Moshe Feiglin's going to get in the Knesset. I can't promise you that, because you never know with voters, with politics, and voters and psychology, these are all uncertain things that can change very quickly. But right now, it certainly looks like Moshe Feiglin has a reasonable chance of getting in. Thank God. And we're pushing hard for him. And it's no longer just a hopeless dream. So let's hope we can do well on April 9th and get Moshe Feiglin in. And then let's hope that we can play a positive role even in next year's presidential election, again, to make this a world where we do things on behalf of God's people in Israel, because the Jews are God's people, on behalf of God's people in Israel and God's plan. The most important issue for God is the Zionist enterprise in the land of Israel, settling the Jews in the land of Israel. That's the number one issue. If you read the Bible and read the prophets and see what it says, that is the number one concern. The whole story of the Bible centers around the Jewish people. It all revolves around the Jewish people and what happens in Israel. The destiny of the world revolves around the Jewish people. People may not like that, especially anti-Semites don't like that. Whether you like it or not, that's God's determination. That's what God has decided to do. And so we can make a difference if we work together as a team. I think JTF has proven over and over again that we can make a difference and we can change history And we can make this a better world if we are determined to do what's right. Be'ezrat Hashem, with God's help. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.